La prochaine présentation se portera sur la faune, sur la flore, principalement. C'est une étape ou un aspect très important du projet de sur Hochelaga. Et l'équipe qui est constituée de Samia, Margot et Ryan ont tenté de jeter les premières balises là, pour ce projet-là, ce qui va porter et qui est vraiment au cœur du projet de Hochelaga sur la récréation des écosystèmes naturels.
All right. Hello, everyone. Good morning. Thanks for coming. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm very glad to be here with you. I'm going to be doing a short introduction in French, and then we're going to do the bilingual theme that we have in Montreal. So the rest of the presentation will be in English. So English, French questions are more than welcome. So here we're going to go with the French introduction. Alors, bonjour, mon nom est Margot et je présente mes amis et collègues Ryan et Samia. On est très heureux d'être avec vous ce matin. Et puis, vous avez devant vous la première équipe dans l'histoire du cours de Muse qui a travaillé sur la flore et la faune passée de Montréal. Alors, vous pouvez vous imaginer comment on se sentait. On allait démystifier le mystère de l'ancienne flore de l'île de Montréal. Alors, on se sentait importante, pionnière. Bon, alors on s'est dit, on commence les recherches, par où on va, c'est un projet de recherche. On va aller chercher sur le site de la bibliothèque, on va aller utiliser nos ressources qu'on a en ligne. Alors on commence ça, avec beaucoup d'émotion, on commence à chercher ça. Alors, voici comment on se sentait en fait. Alors là, on commence à chercher nos sources. On avait un peu de misère en fait à trouver, quels sont les articles qui vont être potentiellement intéressants. Qu'est-ce qu'on va faire exactement? On avait cette vision-là de créer une carte géographique avec des points. Bon, voici la distribution de telle espèce. C'est comme ça que c'était quand les premiers explorateurs sont arrivés à Montréal. Et là, on était vraiment confus. C'était pas trop clair. Qu'est-ce qu'on fait? Où est-ce qu'on va chercher notre information? Et là, je vous explique, on a eu une journée d'illumination. Alors, on était à la bibliothèque, je vous explique le concept. On était à la bibliothèque, on s'est dit, bon, les filles, là, faut qu'on commence à trouver des choses qui vont être importantes pour le projet. On commence à appeler des musées, on commence à appeler le Jardin botanique de Montréal, le musée Stewart. On a contacté des gens qui travaillent avec l'herbier de l'Université de McGill. Et puis là, ça a commencé puis ça n'a pas arrêté. On a commencé à avoir des livres, à avoir des bases de données. Puis là, je vous dis, on était parti sur une lancée, mais pas une lancée normale, une lancée exponentielle. On avait des listes de toutes sortes d'espèces, on avait des bases de données, là, on s'est dit, OK, on en a trop, là. C'est le mur qu'on a frappé quand on s'est dit, wow, il va falloir qu'on commence à trouver vraiment des points précis pour les prochaines équipes pour qu'elles puissent être capables de, OK, c'est ça qu'on a maintenant de la flore. Faut qu'on continue à démystifier quand même. Alors, voici nos bases solides. C'est avec ça qu'on va commencer pour avoir une suite. Alors, quels ont été ces éléments-là qui nous ont aidés à continuer? Alors là, on a fait un choix stratégique. Puis ce choix stratégique-là, c'est ma collègue Samia qui va vous le présenter dans les prochaines étapes.
I had the slightly more boring part of summarizing our summaries of our findings. So, in order to find all these informations after getting through all the roadblocks, we used several types of sources, such as records by historical botanists, maps, journals, articles, and other databases and collections. So, one of our main sources were historical botanists, who are creditable, I swear. We found a lot of information about them. And they collected flora specimens from Quebec and Montreal. The people we study provide information from the 1600s to the 1900s, and the breadth of time covered is very important because, amongst other things, we can see which new species were starting to be recorded and which were no longer mentioned. Peter Kalm, Mary Victorin, and Holmes were three of the eight botanists we looked at. So Peter Kalm was a Swedish-Finnish explorer and botanist who was appointed to go to North America and find seeds or plants that could be useful for agriculture and industry for the European countries. As such, he traveled to several parts of North America, and in 1749, he went to Montreal, and he recorded several mentions of flora that he had found there, which we added to our database. His journals would also be quite important to other projects or other sectors of the of the overall Hochschulagenda project. Also, as Margot probably mentioned, we wanted to access the Holmes collection, but we couldn't. However, we have this awesome botanist called James Barnston, who cataloged all the specimens there, and so that was a huge addition to our database. He actually wanted to create an extensive database for the flora of Montreal. However, he passed away too soon for that, and so that was a huge loss for Montreal as a whole as well. Frère Mary Victorin was a botanic teacher at the University of Montreal, and he later funded the Montreal's botanical gardens in 1729. His book, La Flore Laurentienne, which covers vegetation in southeastern Quebec, is considered one of the most extensive botanical records since the beginning of the French colony. And as such, it's a hugely important database for us. His collection was also digitized and put on and can be viewed as pinpoints on Google Map, which makes it so much easier. And this can all be accessed through the website Canadin ESIS. And they also provide links and digitized versions of a lot of other flora and fauna databases. We also found a list of introduced vascular plants, thanks to our professor Sylvie. And they detail the vascular plants that were introduced to Quebec, where from, and why. And introduced species are just as important for our database because some of them may be invasive and thus change the ecosystems and push out native species. Another source of information were agricultural leases. We were inspired by André Bouchard and some other scientists who researched, who looked at land leases and gathered inferred information about the tree compositions via the descriptions and the transactions involving the trees, while also looking at the market prices. For example, if oak trees had a high market price, but there were no transactions involving oak trees, even though there were before, we can infer that they're no longer available on the lands. We tried to look for notarized deeds, but again, another roadblock, and so we moved on instead to agricultural leases, which Margot looked at extensively. She found a thesis detailing all the information. And the agricultural leases provide us with a lot of information as well, because it tells us about the pre-colonial landscape, the type of soil, the hydrology, and changes in landscape such as deforestation, which would in turn lead to a redistribution of the flora and fauna of Montreal. Soil vegetation, like soil climated maps, are important to our sector of Hochschulagenda project. However, we didn't have a lot of time to look into it, and this was not also our main focus because we wanted to create the database first, and they give future members an overview of sources that they could look into. We found the soil is extremely important in order to understand the species composition of vegetation, and in the future, it's going to be a lot more important in terms of what we've already found. However, the database we found right now through the IRDA and their land surveys are too extensive and too detailed for us to go over. It would probably be one project's worth of work, basically, to fix that and to figure out how it would apply. For maps as well, not a lot of maps found for vegetation. It was kind of sad, but we also knew that other groups would be looking at maps, and we would be able to probably find different types of land, such as swamps and wetlands and so on. And another future project would be to look for military maps, hopefully, because they tend to have the most detail about the land types. Climate as well, not a huge focus, as I said, but it will become important again in order to relate it to the things, to the flora and fauna that we've found already. And that's it for my part.
Okay, thank you very much, Tamia, for all the details. Okay, here, now, where are we going with our project? So here's the database that we created, that Ryan helped creating. So maybe you know already Google Docs, so how this works. What is special about our database is that, so we have a form and also a type of spreadsheet that everyone in the class and in the next generations are going to be able to access and add information. So the very special thing about it is that a lot of people can be simultaneously working on this. So this database of flora, fauna, geology, it could be any subject that you want. So you would receive a little survey like this, survey sheet, and you would check what's your information, what's your source, and then we as a group for Flora Fauna, we can access this information or also other groups and other years. So this is a good liaison for the next coming years, and it's an easy way also to access the information and to not get confused with all those thousands of articles and overwhelming databases. So we started the first steps filling in some information on that in the database. We have some maps of distribution of species. We have a little bit of data about climate. So I guess we are going to share this with all the groups now, and so we hope that this is going to be useful for the next years. And oh yeah, here was the slide. So thank you very much for your attention, and I will be open to any question, French, English, Spanish, how many languages you speak. So thank you very much.
So although they are open to questions in any language, we don't have much time for questions. So unfortunately, we're going to take a couple of questions. No question?
There were coniferous trees.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
yes. I'd like to know, how do you verify if the entry to that database is the correct one?
You mean just like the validity of the source or going further into looking?
Because you let everybody to enter species that they recognize somewhere.
Right, yeah. The form is pretty extensive in nature, like easy to follow, easy to read.
Yeah. But my point is, how do you verify that, like, that's the correct species or the identity of that species is correct?
Oh, identification.
Oh, okay. Through Sylvie. Basically.
Okay.
I'm not a plant scientist, so yeah, we know where the database is. We would have professionals be able to tell us if that was actually there. But
I think this is the same issue in terms of coherence. If a species is found in a soil where it doesn't make sense, or in a location, it's a wetland species and it's found on, you know, an area deep slope in Montreal, then you can sort of make these.
Yeah, because there's a similar project actually.
Sorry, I don't see who's speaking. Oh, sorry.
Yeah. There's a similar project in Newfoundland.
Mm-hmm.
They have this database of birds, which is georeference, and it also has a map. And one of the problems is to validate the.
Yeah, I think you're talking about current record, whereas they're focusing mostly, well, at the first few stages of that project, on historical records. So we have to, look at what is available, and from all these maps that people have been collecting, from all the historical documents that have been collected, and see whether from these sources, plus from what we know from vegetation patterns in relation to the physical structures of the landscape, physical features of the landscape, try to reconstruct vegetation patterns this way. And the work that they mentioned from Bouchard, for instance, was quite interesting because it was doing both, looking at physical components of the landscape, what could be inferred from that in terms of vegetation patterns, but also looking at other sources of historical documents to see if that matched what was seen in the landscape or what had been seen before.
Sylvie, so did you look at any prehistoric data, pollen, macrobotanical stuff? What was the original vegetation prior to humans?
That is something that we wanted to look into, the pollen data and core samples, but it wasn't something that we were able to get our hands on. There was a professor that Samuel was in touch with.
Professor Gail Chmura. I was going to get in touch with her, except she was gone for until like June 2nd week, I think. So one of the problems that we did keep running into is that we didn't have a lot of time to gather information and to wait for information to get here, basically. So, yeah.
Take a look at the work of Pierre Richard.
Noted.
He's at the University of Montreal. He's done all the work around here.
Yeah, constructing.
Not Gail.
Yeah. Thank you for. thank you very much.
Great.